With two candidates at least now likely to be on the ballot for the presidency, how do you get a nomination and who's likely to win? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever it is you're listening. Now, we have two candidates in the field for the presidential election in Catherine Connolly and Mairead McGuinness. And we're going to get into things later about what their chances are and who might oppose them. But first, how do you actually get on the ballot paper? There are some pretty simple rules if you want to be president. You need to be an Irish citizen. You need to be over the age of 35, which unfortunately, dear listener, rules me out of the running. But the tricky bit is getting people to nominate you. 20 members of the Dáil or Seanad need to back a bid for someone to get on the ballot, which is quite a high bar, meaning only three political parties can nominate a candidate on their own. The other route is someone can get the backing of four separate county councils and can get on the ballot that way, which has happened in the past, but given that the main political parties largely control the councils, not really a clear-cut route this time around. Former presidents can also nominate themselves if they haven't served two terms, so in theory, Mary Robinson could nominate herself to run, but that is not going to happen. Bills have come before the Oireachtas in the past to change the nomination process to introduce maybe a situation where someone could get, say, 10,000 signatures and get on the ballot, or to lower the amount of TDs or senators needed to 10, for example, because it is quite a high bar. Getting 20 TDs and senators to agree on anything, if they're not in one political party, that can be very difficult. I would have to argue, though, there should be a high bar to get on the ballot for the presidency. Think of all the crazies you would have otherwise. I mean, nearly anyone can get 10,000 signatures on an online petition now to get on the ballot to run for president. That just seems kind of mad. And think of some of the rather unsavory figures on X, for example, that you could quite easily get to do that. So that's the nomination process at the moment. But if you win, what powers do you get? A lot of people say this is largely a ceremonial role, and in many ways it is, but the president is still in charge of making legislation into law. Bills that are approved by the Oireachtas, the Dáil and Seanad, they go to the president, who then signs them in to law. And in rare cases, the president can seek advice on this, as they are effectively charged with being the final line that ensures a bill doesn't breach the constitution. They can refer any bill to the Council of State, which is an advisory body, has quite a few members. It includes all the living former presidents and Taoiseach. Michael D only convened the Council of State for legislation four times through his 14 years in the office. And if the president is still not happy, they can then refer that bill on to the Supreme Court. And Michael D only did that once with the Judicial Appointments Bill. That power, though, it has consequences as well. Cervéló Dóigh, the former president, he referred the Special Powers Bill to the Supreme Court. It was a bill looking to extend the amount of time that someone could be detained without charge. And he was called a thundering disgrace by a minister, fell out hard with the government, and ultimately he resigned. But a lot of the president's power, it kind of comes at the direction of the government. So the president appoints ambassadors, for example, on the recommendation of the Minister for Foreign Affairs. The president summons and dissolves the Dáil on the advice of the Taoiseach. He or she can refuse to dissolve the Dáil after a Taoiseach has lost confidence, the confidence of the chamber, if they believe that another government could be formed without an election. But that power has actually never been exercised, never been used. And there has been some talk in this campaign about the president being able to address the Oireachtas, and they can. That is a power they have after they've consulted with the Council of State. But the government has to approve the speech that they give. So it's not like they can just go into the Dáil chamber and start ripping the head off of everyone. Their speech has to be pre-approved by the government of the day. The president can also convene a sitting of the Dáil or Seanad if they wish, but that power has never been used. And this is the clause that you'll hear the No Hope or Conor McGregor talking about when he says he'll lecture and summon the Dáil and tell TDs to get on with it. The president also represents the country abroad. It gives ministers their seals of office and serves as the supreme commander of the defence forces, although military control is given to the Minister for Defence. So the president exists in some part as a check on the government, but in reality, most of the powers of the office come at the discretion of that government. And there's no hope of the Irish president becoming a Donald Trump-like figure, as they simply don't have the power to do that. And while arguably a rogue in the office could exercise some of those powers that have never been used, the government also has some power to curtail their message and full power to just ignore it. Now, let's get on to what you're really here for. Who is likely to be on the ballot? Well, Dustin the Turkey has said that he will consider a run.
You know, spoof the people, promise them loads of rubbish, and, you know, like, it'll be a dirty campaign. They're bringing in a lot of tariffs and stuff. I'll be bringing in tariffs on Paxo, obviously. That'd be a 50%er, you know, on bad red wigs, on American presidents. I'll be putting a tariff on that.
Joking aside, we've got two candidates declared, the first of whom has the backing of more than 20 TDs and senators, is the independent Catherine Connolly, who launched her campaign yesterday outside Leinster House after deciding to run as a torturous process and saying that she's not just going to be a continuity Michael D.
I'm standing here, it's not a contest or a comparison with Michael D, but let me say that I'm particularly proud of Michael D, who showed courage when courage was necessary, and when he spoke out truth to power, no matter where that was, whether that's the illegal invasion of the Ukraine by Russia, or America's role in many, many conflicts, or in relation to Palestine, and America's role in the genocide that's ongoing in Palestine. I'm particularly proud that he showed courage, and indeed that his wife showed courage.
You're a continuity candidate, right?
I would never describe myself as a continuity candidate. I come from a family of 14, and we have all striven to have our own personalities, and indeed, we would take grave exception to say we're following somebody else. I have my own vision and my own support and my own values that I will. However, I will say again that Michael D has done us proud.
I have to say she was good in that press conference. She fielded some tricky questions over about 18 minutes, including two questions to Oscuelga. She was asked about supporting Gemma O'Doherty and her bid for the president last time around. She said she didn't regret it based on O'Doherty's journalistic past and said it was the right decision at the time, but it's a shame where O'Doherty has gone the way that she has over the last few years. She, I think, came away pretty unscathed from her first chat with the media, but maybe at a disadvantage in that there will be bored journalists over August digging into every element of her past. She, however, sees it as an advantage to be first out of the traps. She's joined at that starting line by Mairead McGuinness of Fine Gael, who'll also be on the ballot, having been the only person nominated in her party. She is quite an interesting candidate in that she wouldn't be universally loved in Fine Gael. She seems quite a worthy candidate who really wants the presidency, and that can go for or against you. She is the favourite right now. That's also dangerous this early in the process. Fianna Fáil really haven't a clue what they're doing or who they're nominating or whether they're even going to nominate somebody. Some of the TDs want to just stay out of a race that they don't think they can win. Why spend up to €500,000 on it if you're not going to come away with the result? Others think it's mad that a party of Fianna Fáil's size, having just won a general election, wouldn't have someone in the field. I mean, they haven't had a presidential candidate, a standalone presidential candidate, since 1997, when I was 4 years old. Did have a minister say to me this week they backed Michael D last time around. Don't think that counts. He was most definitely not a Fianna Fáiler. Then you have the internal candidates. Most of the people I speak to think Bertie Ahern won't run. Mary Hanafin or Peter Power probably couldn't win it. Niall Quinn has been touted as a possible candidate for Micheál Martin, who does seem to be looking around for a credible candidate to run from the ranks of independents or from outside of politics. Labour is going to decide at the end of the month what it's doing, though the Sock Dems have kind of stolen a march on them by nominating Catherine Connolly first, and I'm not convinced that Labour, even if they wanted to now, would have the numbers to nominate, say, an Ivana Bacic or somebody else that as their own candidate, so they could well back Catherine Connolly yet. Sinn Féin, they're in a really interesting position. So obviously Mary Lou has been touted, hasn't ruled herself out after initially ruling herself out earlier in the year. I think she's the only one that could win it for them. Michelle O'Neill, I don't see doing it. John Finucane, I definitely don't see doing it. And people sort of say Michelle O'Neill would be a good candidate, even if they have a half-decent day out, that's a win for Sinn Féin. But if Michelle O'Neill is meant to be a unity first minister in the north, and you then run to be Irish president and say, well, actually, I don't really want this job anymore, this historically significant job, the first Republican to hold the first ministry in Northern Ireland. Are you going to give that up? And when you lose, and I think it would be when rather than if, you then go back as somewhat of a lame duck, don't you? And that's the threat that faces Mary Lou as well. If she loses the race to be a president, she'll have lost two elections, even though they've been historically significant for Sinn Féin in that they're better than they've ever done before. But she'll have lost both of those elections. She'll have lost the presidency. She'll have had two terrible local elections under her term, one bad European and one okay European election. Not exactly a winning record to come back into the Dáil, where everyone is then going to be like, well, you don't really want to be here. You wanted to be president. Why are we listening to you? And then you have the Fine Gael side of things who are already saying if she does run, they will hammer her with Jonathan Dowdall all day long, all through the campaign, bring up everything about that and make it as much as possible about that and drag her into the mud to damage her reputation. So I don't know whether Sinn Féin will nominate their own candidate. And I think at this stage, were I advising them, I would probably say pick an opportune time to row in behind Catherine Connolly and have a Unity Left candidate. And if she loses, hey, it's not your pony, you know. She lost out to a joint government candidate who had more votes. Fine, perhaps, whatever the shakeup comes. And if she wins, you back the right horse and she becomes an independent and you're not really affected as a party. I think politically, that's probably the most expedient thing for them to do. There could be another runner. A&2 is trying to cobble together this sort of hodgepodge of largely right-wing independents and others, it should be said, to back a candidate. Declan Ganley, perhaps the businessman, has been talked about. Apparently there are at least two candidates who are making their way through Oireachtas members trying to see if they can get on the ballot at the moment. So we're looking as if we may have as many as five candidates in the running, but it could be as few as two or three. I don't think it's going to be a two-horse race between Catherine Connolly and Mairead McGuinness, though that would be very, very interesting. And I would put Mairead McGuinness as the slight favourite for that, but I wouldn't say the overwhelming favourite either. I think the more people get to know Catherine Connolly, she's sort of soft-spoken, well-spoken, Gaelgor. There is something presidential about her, and I don't know how likeable Mairead McGuinness is to the wider public. The real shift votes would be Fianna Fáil. Do Fianna Fáilers, if they don't have a candidate in the field, want to elect Mairead McGuinness, or do they and have the first ever Fine Gael president, or would they go over to someone like Catherine Connolly? Very, very possible. And if she has the backing of the entire left, you know, plus a good chunk of Fianna Fáilers, that would probably get you there. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be really interesting. Final thing, the date of the election. Fine Gael wants it as early as possible, and it can happen. I think it's 6 weeks before the end of Michael D's mandate, which is in off the top of my head the 11th of November. So it's basically mid-September is the earliest it could happen. I have heard that a lot of people in Fine Gael want to get this done before the budget in the second week of October, because the budget's not going to be great. It's not going to be terrible, we think, unless there's 30% tariffs, then it could be pretty terrible, but it's not going to be anywhere near the giveaway that we've had the last few years, and people will be disappointed after this budget. There's no doubt about that. So why would they have it after, is their thinking. And as one Fine Gael source put it to me this week, if Fianna Fáil had a candidate, they would definitely be ploughing for September, but they don't, so they aren't. And the Minister of Housing is a Fianna Fáiler. It's ultimately his discretion to issue the writ. So it is going to be very interesting to see what the timing of that is. I don't think it necessarily will be November, as everyone has suspected. I think we could see it a little bit earlier. So there you go. There's your update on the presidency, what the powers are, who's in the running, how you get on the ballot, and the runners and riders as we know them at the minute. We will, of course, be bringing you up to date on everything that's happening in the election as it happens. I feel like we're going to be talking about it a lot through August and September and whatever the election is. Thanks for listening to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you're listening, and I will chat to you soon.